Well, good morning, Midway family. It's great to be here this morning, and I look forward to the day when we can all come back together. Let's sing together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me.
Join with me in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we are so thankful to you for each and every blessing you have sent our way, for to realize, dear Heavenly Father, that you have blessed our lives in so many ways we could not begin to count them. We are thankful for the families that you've given to us and for the love that we share. We're thankful for the good health that so many of us enjoy. We are thankful for the successful surgery on Jerry Cleveland, and we pray that his recovery will continue quickly. We are mindful, dear Heavenly Father, of the virus and the terrible effects that he has caused on everyone's life, those that have contacted it and those that have not. We pray that if it be thy will, that those that have contacted it will be soon recovered, and that the effects of it may be diminished greatly or removed from us, so our lives may get back to normal. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our leaders, and for we pray that you will grant them wisdom, and that the actions that they take will be those necessary, that the virus will be contained, and that our lives may all return to their normal. We're most thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for Jesus, for the life that he lived, for the examples that he set for each of us. We're thankful for those that tell of Jesus' life everywhere. We're especially thankful for Russell and the lesson he's prepared for us this morning. It is our prayer that you will grant each of us an open ear and attentive heart, that we might find the application that you would have us to as we live our daily lives, that we might live more Christ-like lives in the future. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us of our sins, for through Jesus' name that we pray. Our scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, where Isaiah is foretelling things that were going to happen in the future. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquities of us all to fall on him.
Let's sing once more. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Good morning. As we join together in communion, I wanted to start off with a few thoughts. And I'll start off by saying 6 days. 6 days is a part of the Bible story of the city of Jericho when Joshua marched the people around the city for 6 days, and he commanded them to walk around, and as they carried the ark and blowing the horns to basically march the people around. And on the seventh day, God would reveal his power in telling the people to shout, and the walls came down. And the reason I bring this story up is kind of how God was shown in the aspect of his power and the obedience that was shown through the people of God by telling them to march around each day and to show their obedience to the one that they knew was the all-powerful and mighty God. As they showed their obedience marching around, you can imagine how the people of Jericho looked down on them, thinking they were in their great fortress and they could never be penetrated by these silly people marching around, blowing their horns. And then on the seventh day, God showed his true power and showed who God truly was. When Jesus came to this earth, he lived quietly, and people looked at him differently and thought, this can't be the true Son of God, the one that we knew of in the Old Testament. But he showed his quiet power, and in the end, he showed how he conquered sin over the world. God commands us on this first day of the week that we should remember him and the life that we have through him. And as we take this communion, let's remember how God quietly shows his power through his Son and the life that we have received because of the life that was given through his Son, Jesus. Let's pray for the bread. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we can remember your son and the life that was given for us. We thank you for this bread and the what it represents, the body that was given on the cross for us. As we take it, let us remember these things and remember the life we have through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray for the cup. Father, thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross for us, the blood that washes away our sins, the blood that sealed the new covenant for us, and the blood that gives us life with you. We pray as we take this cup that we will remember the life that we have through you and the life that you have given us. As we take it, I pray that we will do it in a pleasing manner to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Separately, we do thank each of you that have continued to participate in the contributions that you either mail in or drop off to the church. We thank you for that sacrifice that you make each week by continuing to do that. I'd like to offer a word of prayer for that Thanksgiving. Father, thank you for the things you provide for us. We thank you for the opportunity to be good stewards of what you have provided us. And we pray that you will continue to bless the works of the church. And we pray that these monies that we contribute will continue to support the things that we do here. And we pray that you will bless these monies and the hands that administer to this. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once more, let's praise God.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us live in you. Jesus, draw us ever nearer. Hold us in your loving arms. Wrap us in your gentle presence. When the end comes, bring us home.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. Glad you're joining with us this morning as we worship together and as we look at God's Word. Have you ever felt like you were at the end of your rope, like you had been hit by a ton of bricks, that maybe the bottom had just fallen out? Many times we face those kind of days, and we live in a time in the world today where many people probably experience some of those emotions that are associated with troublesome times. As early as the 1950s, there was a story, some would consider it a joke, that was told among bricklayers as they gathered around work sites. And the author seems to be unknown as far as the original author, but this story circulated, and over time, there were some people who made the story even more popular. In December 4th of 1958, Gerard Hoffnung at the Oxford Union Society made this story very popular. It's played, and you can actually look for it on YouTube, as the story of the Barrel of Bricks, and you can listen to his rendition. There were also songs written about this particular story. Pat Cooksey wrote a song that has been sung by people called Dear Boss, or Why Patty Didn't Come to Work Today. And you can also listen to those songs on YouTube. So there's been different renditions of this story, but here's one I'll share with you this morning. It's about a bricklayer who ended up in the hospital because of multiple injuries, and the insurance company asked him to send them a letter explaining his claims. And this is what he said. Dear sirs, in your letter you asked me for clarification regarding my insurance claim caused by poor planning. I hope the following information is adequate to explain my situation. I'm a bricklayer by trade. I completed a six-story building. When I got done, I had over 250 pounds of bricks left on the top of the building. I rigged up a barrel to a rope and a pulley, secured the rope carefully below, and after climbing to the top, filled the barrel with bricks. Then I descended to let the bricks down. I carefully untied the rope and let the barrel of bricks down. But as you can see from box 11, section 3 above, my weight is only 135 pounds. I was so surprised when I started to ascend, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. And in the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel on its way down, which explains my skull fracture and broken collarbone. I continued up to the top, and the barrel of bricks hit the ground just as one hand in its glove wrapped itself in the pulley, trapping me there. Meanwhile, because of the heavy weight of the barrel, the bottom fell out, leaving only a shell, which reduced the weight. Remember, box 11, section 3, 135 pounds, and the barrel started up. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming down, which explains my fractured ankle and lacerations on my leg, and I fell into the pile of bricks, which explains my broken vertebra. I was so surprised, I lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope, and the barrel came down on top of me. When you hear that story that's been told, often with humor, we can all identify with days like that when we're at the end of our rope, where the bottom falls out of the barrel, where we're on a pile of bricks, and we feel like we've been hit by bricks. Sometimes we have those kind of days. It reminds us of the children's story, Alexander and his horrible, no good, very bad day. Everything goes from bad to worse, and in the end he says, I think I'll go to Australia. We all have days like that. It could be an illness. It could be a struggle in a relationship. It could be losing a job. And many times those things, like the story, come in threes. He was hit going up, coming down, and then hit again. This morning, I went for a run. I was barked at and chased by three dogs. Sometimes life just hands us those situations. And when we get to those days when we feel like the bottom has fallen out, we're at the end of our rope, a good text for us to go to is Psalm 55. Because David is at the end of his rope. The barrel has fallen out. He's been hit by a ton of bricks. He's been betrayed, not by an enemy, but by a friend. And we know in Scripture there's stories about his relationship with Saul. There's also stories about his relationship with Absalom, who rebelled against him, and his counselor that was very, very close to him, that betrayed him. Some make a connection with that in this psalm. We don't know exactly who David is thinking about as he writes this psalm, but one thing we know is he was at the end of his rope. And if you would, take your Bible, turn it open to Psalm 55, and Kendall is going to come and read this text to us.
Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, Selah, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you.
Thanks, Kendall. David was having a horrible time. He was at the end of his rope. I mean, think about the verses. Look in verses 4 and 5. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I mean, can you feel the weight that David has on his shoulders? And he's expressing to God exactly how he feels. He's letting God know what he's going through. Look in verses 6 and 7. We probably all felt this way sometimes, where our reaction might be, I just want to get in my car and drive away. I want to get as far away from this bad situation as I can. In David's words, he says, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. He's going through a difficult time emotionally, especially because his heart is broken because not an enemy had betrayed him, but a friend. He said if it had been an enemy, that would have been different. He could have confronted it. But because it was a friend, and those are the things that in life that really break our heart. Those that we love, our family, our friends, when we're betrayed by them, and he feels the weight of the situation. And then in verse 8, he says, I would hasten my escape. I just want to get out of here from the windy storm and tempest. David, tell us how you feel about the situation you're in. He said it's a ton of bricks situation. It's a windy storm. It's a tempest in his life. And how does he respond? This morning, I want us to look at four responses to troublesome times from this psalm. Because David lays out a blueprint that can help us when we face difficult times. Our world, we're living through a pandemic right now, a virus that is affecting our lives. The economy, there's instability. There's wars in our world. There are tragedies that are taking place. There's circumstance after circumstance that continues to kind of pile up on us. And it gets difficult to deal with. The first response is, lean on God through prayer. Look in verse 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon, I will pray and call out loud, and he shall hear my voice. We know lots of scriptures. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 4:2. We know in the book of James, he says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He also says, anyone in trouble, let him pray. Jesus gave us the example of someone who prayed often. And he also taught us about prayer and the importance of being persistent in prayer. We know its value, but sometimes when the bottom falls out, we need to remember that the most important thing for us to do, the first step we need to take, is to turn to God in prayer. When Jonah was swallowed by the fish, he offered up a prayer to God and had confidence that God could save him. Jonah chapter 2 gives us that prayer. Go back and maybe this week reread that prayer. The importance and power of prayer in our life is so significant. And here David reminds us, when you're in trouble, call to God. There's many other psalms where the message of the psalm is, when I was in trouble, I called. And when I called, God heard. And when God heard, God came. And when God came, God rescued me. One example of that is Psalm 18, a good passage to read maybe this week. And he says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. No matter what your problem is, whether it's an emotional problem, a physical problem, a spiritual problem, God cares for you, and you need to turn it over to him in prayer. When Jesus was bearing the weight of the cross, he went into the garden and he prayed for what he wanted, but he accepted God's answer and he poured himself out in prayer to God. We have to do the same. Is prayer something that you do out of obligation? Or is it something you use as a tool in your life and it is significant in your relationship to God? The first step is lean on God through prayer. Go to God and let him know what you're struggling with. Ask him for help. The second step is leave your burdens with God. Look at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. What a verse. That's a verse that should be marked down. When we go through troublesome times, last week we talked about being a burden bearer and what that means to us in Galatians chapter 6. But today, he says, ultimately, the burdens that we have in life need to be taken and given to the Lord. Cast your burden. It means to throw off or to get rid of. We understand casting with a rod and a reel. We're throwing the lure off into the water. When you cast something, you get rid of it. When I was teaching karate to smaller children, I would often teach them a low block, which is from your ear to your knee. And sometimes they wouldn't get it. And so I'd say, I want you to pretend like there's a bug on your ear. What's the scariest bug to you? And you get roaches or spiders or different bugs they would mention. And I'd say, pretend there's a spider on your ear and you want to get rid of it and you've got to throw it off down to the floor. And so they would learn the low block. That's it. From your ear to your knee. Cast it off. Throw it off. He's saying, cast this to the Lord. And the idea here is that you get rid of it and you leave it with the Lord. Why are so many Christians cast and catch Christians? We cast it off and then we catch it again and we're burdened with the same problem. I've got a burden. I can hold this stool for a while. But after a couple of days, I'm just kidding, after a couple of hours, oh, maybe a couple of minutes, this is going to get uncomfortable, and I'm going to want to put it down. He says, cast your burdens on the Lord, let go of them, and leave them there. Don't pick it up again. As Christians, we need to do a better job of learning to leave our burdens, the weights in our lives, the things that we struggle with the Lord, remembering that He will sustain us. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Leave your stuff with me and take what I give you. That's what you need to focus on from Matthew chapter 11 in the very end of that chapter. Leave your burdens with God. Too many people carry their burdens way longer than they should. And Satan likes to keep us in that position because as long as we're burdened, we're not going to study like we should. We're not going to pray like we should. We're not going to share our faith like we should because we've got a burden. Everything slows down. Everything is more difficult. And we've got to let those burdens go so we can be what God called us to be. Christ-like ambassadors in the world. Let your burdens go. I've held on to some burdens sometimes for years until I finally got to a point where I just had to let it go. I could have done that so much sooner. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. What a special verse. You and I should be showing more gratitude to God because of the reality that He bears our burdens daily. He's a burden bearer. He takes care of the cares that I don't need to handle. He bears them for me. We should praise God for the God that He is and the way He loves us and cares for us and bears our burdens. The third response is to lift your voice in faith. If we go back to verses 16 through 18, David, in some ways, it almost is like in this text that he's talking to himself. And he's trying to give himself confidence and courage, and he does that by making statements of faith that he believes in. It says, as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. He will hear my voice. He's making statements of faith. He had confidence and belief that God was going to save him, that God was going to hear him, that God was going to be there for him. And then look again in verse 22. It says, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He will sustain you. Those are statements of faith. And as Christians, it's important for us to voice our faith. When we're going through times like this pandemic, to say things like, God will see us through. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God can do exceedingly abundantly, far above all we ask or imagine, because of His power that is at work within us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God is going to take care of this. God is in control. Those are statements of faith. People need to hear our faith expressed. Our children need to hear our faith expressed. We need to be people that when we speak, people listen, because we say things that are true and right and needed. Do you express those things? Or do we express fear? I don't know how we're going to get through this. This thing's going on and on and on and on. Yesterday, someone said that the virus that people suffered through in 1918 lasted for a couple of years. And when those words came out of their mouth, I thought, no. I hope this isn't like that. Sometimes we express fear when we need to be expressing our faith. It's an interesting point that all of us could probably take advantage of opportunities we have to speak up a statement of faith. You know what? The world may be telling us that we can't do it, but we can. The world may be saying that we can't reach all the lost. But what if we started to stand it up and just started saying, you know what? We're going to do our part. We're going to do our best. If Jesus said for us to do it, we're going to go for it. And we start hearing those messages of faith, it builds everybody up. Words can make a huge difference in an environment. They can change a bunch of gloomy people into a bunch of hopeful people. And that's what speaking up in faith does. His words in here, in this text, give me strength and encouragement when he says things like, you will not be moved. God will not allow you to be moved. God will sustain you. God's going to take care of protecting me and defending me. What about your statements of faith? What kind of things does your husband or wife, your children, your co-workers, what kind of things do you say that are statements of faith that will lead them to having faith? And then finally, in the very last verse of the chapter, in verse 23, it ends with the words, but I will trust in you. After I've called to God for help, after I've cast my burden upon Him, after I've spoken words of faith, when it's all said and done, I'm going to trust God. Jesus was in the garden. Father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will be done, but yours. He calls on God. He lays everything out. And then he says, not my will be done, but yours. I'm going to trust in you. It reminds us of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. When you're in trouble, it's important to pray. It's important to cast. It is important to speak your faith, not only for others, but also for yourself. And it is essential that you trust in God. He will lead you through. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your steps. As we close our thoughts this morning, I want you to think about verse 22. In the American Standard Version, it says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." This is a 3x5 card worthy passage. This is one you ought to write down on a 3x5 card and stick it somewhere where you will see it. Whether it's in your console of your car, whether it's in a mirror, whether you put it, I often put it in the front of my Bible. So whenever I pick my Bible up to read it, the card's sticking out and I read it. Let this verse be a verse that you memorize because it can change your life. Get on the computer this afternoon and type in Psalm 55:22 Bible Hub. And when you enter it, it will give you a list of all kinds of different translations of this verse. Read through them and pick out the one that you want to memorize. Write it on a 3x5 card and lay it up in your heart. Years ago, there was a popular song, "Cast Your Burdens." The children would sing. We'd sing it in vacation Bible school. Time went on, and we kind of stopped singing the song, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. And a few years ago, when a group from here went to Lithuania on a mission trip for a summer camp with the children there, I was kind of reintroduced to that song because they would sing it almost every day. And it's a fun song. It's a song that has hand motions, and it gets stuck in your head. And I've been teaching it to my granddaughter, Ava, who's 3 lately. And the words of the song and the gestures are, "Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, because He cares for you. Higher, 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 lift Jesus higher. Lower, 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 push Satan lower." When we cast our burdens upon Jesus, we lift Him higher and we push Satan lower. Cast your burdens upon Jesus, for He cares for you. That's the message this morning. May God help us in times of trouble have the same response that David had. May God bless you. And if you're not a Christian and you want to learn more about it, I hope that you will give us a call. We can set up a time to talk about that step in your life. I pray that you will be strengthened by God's Word. Isn't God's Word amazing? Would you pray with me? Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power of it. We often struggle with the burdens that we have in life. Sometimes we hang on too long. Sometimes we medicate our pain with other things that don't work. And we pray for people now that are suffering and struggling with life, that are having difficulties in bearing their burdens. Help us to cast our cares on You. And thank You for caring for us. Father, we pray for those who are being illy affected by the virus. We pray, Father, for us to deepen our commitment to Jesus and follow Him wherever He leads us. We ask these things in His name. In the name of Jesus, amen.